Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
I'm going to hit the record button.
All right.
Oh,
You
I didn't even
smash
notice
that
that.
record button.
Meant to do it as Rob was logging on. I normally try to do it with the first person coming on, but oh well, that's fine.
Oh God, no. I'm glad that we have our little private moment before we get public with our
Yeah.
conversation.
It's definitely important to have that. I'll make a better point of doing it at a time, kind of like this. But I do also like to have it kind of cold open into us a little bit, just to kind of ease the, just kind of make it feel like you're in the room with us. But
Yep.
either way, cool. Well, should we jump into
Yeah.
it?
Bring on
All
the
right. Well,
hate.
we'll get back to the High Five Podcast where we each week talk about our count down our five favorite things, or sometimes like this week we flip it around completely on its head. My name is Jay and I'm joined this week by my friends Caleb and Rob. This week's topic is anti-pleasures or anti-pleasures, things that are widely loved that we just cannot stand. So you guys, what is the definition of anti-pleasure? What do you think, Rob?
Well, for me, this kind of was a suggestion from our friend Julie. You talk about that we do a show of listing the five things that we love. What about those things that we cannot stand that everybody else seems to love, right? Now, there's a lot of things out there that, of course, are things that are not for me, and I kind of recognize that, right? Video games are not really for me. So if we ever do an episode on video games, you guys are going to be laughing on the floor with my choices. But this is really what I get at, these things that are always around, and it's like there some of these, they just steer to a certain part of your brain that just causes an absolute level of agitation, and it's just I'm surprised that people love it.
What about you, Caleb? What is an
Yeah,
anti-pleasure to you?
same general idea. I also thought of just things that are really popular that I just don't enjoy, have any, if you like it, great, more power to you, but it's not something I've enjoyed. I've probably tried it and have realized, nope, it's just not my cup of tea. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think pretty much all of mine I've tried, aside from maybe one. But yeah. I think, I mean, really, I don't think there's much to really talk about. I think, I think for me at least, it kind of broke itself into a couple small categories, things that I have given a fair chance to, things that I feel pressure to enjoy, that I maybe haven't, and I've been just, you know how sometimes so everybody's watching a show and you're like you get behind by a season, you're like, screw it, I'm just not going to watch any of it,
Sure.
something like that. And then there's some picks that are just like non-starter, like you were saying, Rob, where it's just like, for me, it's just like there's no spot of entry. There's no person that that could kind of help you get into it. There's no connections there. So, but yeah, I think it kind of explains itself. It's the opposite of the topic that we did last week, which was guilty pleasures. So I think since Rob, this is your topic, correct? Officially, why don't you start us off if no one else has anything else to add?
All right. Well, so my number five is a shopping experience that people seem to really enjoy. And that's Trader Joe's. I do not like Trader Joe's. I do not like the fact that it's all like their branded products, that it's usually inconsistent about what they have, you know. So I cannot do my regular grocery shopping at Trader Joe's. A lot of people seem to love it. I will tell you that in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Trader Joe's is located in the former Whole Foods parking lot or former Whole Foods shopping space. And the parking lot is absolutely tiny. And the number of people who have crashed in that parking lot, it just makes me not even want to, like, it just makes me want to drive past that location and go to an actual Whole Foods, or a Meijer or a Plum Market. But Trader Joe's, I do not enjoy it. And then worse, there was a very tiny basement location in Boylston Street in Boston. And I have been in there at times when the checkout line has been wrapped completely around the store. And I would usually, at that point, walk in, mutter, "This is why we fought communism, to prevent bread lines," and I'd walk right out. So my number five is Trader Joe's.
So, so do you like the idea of it? It's just crazy, it's stupid busy, not well planned for the foot traffic that they have in them. Is it just the whole thing, or is it you just don't like all the weird brands, you don't like Two Buck Chuck wine?
Well, there's no brands. I mean, it's all a Trader Joe's brand, right? So
Exactly.
you really can't do your grocery shopping there.
You can't do a one-stop shopping, yeah.
And it's not consistent. And I don't know. It's just, to me, it's not an ideal grocery shopping experience. I mean, I guess
Sure.
if you wanted some cheap wine and some snacks, then fine. But anything else, it to me, the whole thing is just abhorrent.
It's like a novelty. It's a novelty to me, you know, like there's a few things that I might get from there maybe, or, try, but like, yeah, I couldn't see it as this is my grocery store. You know, this, it's more like, hey, I drove by it. I'm going to stop by and get some, I don't know, cookie butter, peanut butter, or whatever it's called, whatever weird thing they have. So,
It's always a weird turn on some normal product, like you said.
it's
Peanut
not going
butter
to replace
flavored
Meijer.
something. That's a good one.
But
I
people love
don't
it.
disagree with. I mean, there are things there that I do like, but you're totally right. It's not a one-stop shopping place. It's not someplace that is like practical. It's always impossible to get in and out of. That's if even if it has a parking lot, which in a lot of the bigger cities, like I know that like in Chicago, you're better off just, taking a subway there or whatever. You're not going to park your car anywhere nearby. But yeah, in my mind, it's a good concept, on principle, but like, it's not executed very well. But if you live in a food desert in the middle of a city, then I guess you don't have many choices. You gotta, go where you can get
Roll with
good
it.
food. So, but yeah. All right. Any other thoughts there, Rob, on your number five?
Nope.
I guess I'll go. My number five is pickleball, the sport of pickleball.
Ooh. And it's having a moment.
It's the fastest growing sport in America, and it's just annoying to me. The last time I've never played it since I was in high school in phys ed class. I'm good at it. I know I'd be good at it. But it's one of those things that it's a fad, and it's a social fad where people do it. It's an excuse to get together as couples, and it's a good co-ed sport. But I'm kind of pissed off with the sport of pickleball because last year our city decided to add a pickleball facility to our local park where my vintage baseball team plays its home games. And out in left field is where they decided to put it, well within home run distance, which on its face we initially thought it would be fine. You still had to hit a pretty good hit to get it into the pickleball court. So it was still, okay, and it was a fence that, was safe to be near if you hit a ball out there. But then this year they put in drainage for for the pickleball court, which protruded even further into our left field area. And right now there's orange construction fence up there that goes another, I don't know, 30 or 40 feet into our left field area. We did complain to the mayor and to, the people, the powers that be that we were given their email addresses to complain to. And they have since moved the drainage ditch kind of to the left and back a little bit, but there's still construction fences up, so it's ruined the beginning of our season. And so that's my gripe, that's my vent. So I'm just kind of pissed off at the sport of pickleball right now. I understand why it's popular. It's an easy sport to play, for all ages, but yeah, just never got it, and it's on my shit list right now.
Well, and a lot of neighbors complain about pickleball, especially if you live next to an outdoor pickleball court.
It's noisy.
It can be a very noisy sport, much more so than I think tennis. Partly because of that hard plastic ball hitting that hard plastic paddle.
Like ping pong. Just
And it's
bigger.
definitely had a moment. And I'm surprised to hear you say you played pickleball in high school because we're roughly the same age. And I was not familiar with pickleball until honestly about 2020 during the pandemic.
Oh, it
It seemed to
definitely did
take off
not
as a
get big
thing.
until then. But the thing was, on the west side of the state, pickleball was popular at the country clubs. And so in the wintertime, they would actually have these
Indoor.
indoor outdoor pickleball courts where they would actually heat underneath the courts. They would be elevated, and it was kind of like this sport that you could play at the country club when you couldn't golf in the wintertime. And so it was kind of this, I don't know if it was a regional thing or what, but it was popular on the west side of the state. So that's how I played it, because I think it was just common enough in our area for it to be included on a phys ed sport list.
I played it in high school too, and I know it was popular to play indoors, like because it was a sport you could do indoors when it was cold out. You did all you
Smaller
needed was
court.
a small gym floor. You didn't need
Yeah, we
anything
played it in the
huge, didn't
gym.
need a lot of space. So
And it was invented in 1965. So it has been around for a while. So, but yeah, that's my number five. Screw you,
I just can't believe,
pickleball.
like, I mean, it's cool. I'm glad people are enjoying it. I can't believe the investment that cities like Holland just put in, like, eight of them. And I'm like,
That's what our, I
that's
think it's
great,
eight.
but I don't know how long it's gonna last. I maybe it will. Maybe it'll be like tennis and it'll keep going, but it just seems like a lot of investment for what could be just a trend, but.
Exactly.
It is a nice, it is fairly inexpensive to put up a court. It's just flat, and you put up some posts for the nets, and it's pretty easy to maintain that. I get it. And anything that promotes people getting out and playing sports, I'm totally for it. It's just screw you, pickleball. Caleb, why don't you go?
Right. So my number five, is country music.
Oh,
I've tried it. I
some
grew up in the
play
country.
me some.
All
Actually,
of
it's
my
mountain
friends
music.
growing up loved country music. I've tried to get into it. There's like maybe a handful of artists that I think are okay. I just can't, like, anything nowadays though is horrible. Like, I cannot listen to anything that's pre-1980s probably. I can't stand country music. I know people love it. I know it's a big thing. And I've tried to listen to all sorts of artists. I've tried to get into it. People have been like, "Oh, have you listened to so and so?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll try it." And I'm like, "Nope, I don't know what it is. It's just the lyrics suck, the twang sucks, the way they sing annoys me. There's just nothing about it that I enjoy at all. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I can't get around it."
That's a good choice. I mean, there are some musicians I like, and I definitely agree with you. I think you said 1980. I think I would push it to about 2000. Some of the 90s country, especially as it was kind of taking that turn into pop, some of it was
Sanaya.
interesting. There is a lot of country music doesn't sound like country music to me, shouldn't seem like something that's auto-tuned. I can accept that with pop music. especially like I love like 80s synth pop, but I don't think country music should have that synth pop. I mean, to me, it feels like it should be real instruments. And I kind of agree with you. Most modern country music is not my thing, though I still love a good Patsy Cline or sometimes a Johnny Cash or
Yeah, so like I don't mind Johnny Cash or Willie Nelson. I could listen to both of those. Like, that's okay. The only modern artist that I like a few songs of is like Chris Stapleton. But outside of that, like, and like I said, I've tried. I've listened to it, and I can't do it. There's just something about it.
I get it. I was raised listening to country music. I was a big Kenny Rogers fan as a kid. Went through a country phase as a young adult. Went to all the B93 birthday bash outdoor festivals, which will come up later, in a slightly related way. But yeah, I mean, I went through that phase in my life, and I totally agree. I mean, the thing about current country radio is it's not country. Like I could put 10 different artists in front of you that aren't considered country, that if you listen to them, you're like, oh yeah, that's probably country. And it's like Americana alternative rock
Sure.
sort of stuff. And so
Sure.
like everything is just kind of like crossed paths and like past each other on the spectrum of what music is nowadays.
A
What
lot of
you hear on
inbreeding.
country radio is not country. So don't feel bad about it because that shit ain't country. My favorite singer is Sturgill Simpson. Not overall favorite, but like as far as like a country person, and he's all over the board himself. He'll play like a rock acid rock album, and he'll do some bluegrass, and then he'll do a straight up country album. He's kind of sounds like a modern day Merle Haggard or a Hank Williams or something like that. But yeah, I totally agree with you, Caleb. Country is country ain't what it used to be. All right, so we'll jump to our number fours. My number four, it is related to country. My number four is big trucks with big tires. And if you know me, I own a truck. I do love trucks, but I love a practical truck that gets decent gas mileage and can still haul some things and can haul my family and, is safe. But like, I'm talking about those trucks that like, it's just you hear them rumbling down the road, and it's not because of their engine, it's because of their tires. Just
Sure.
impractical. They're not taking these trucks in the mud or off-roading. And if they are, more power to them. I don't really care, but it's not a practical daily driver. It is not. I don't care who you are. It is not a daily driver vehicle. So quit trying to tell me it is. It's just, yeah, it's just impractical. You're compensating for something, and there's just too many trade-offs. And like, it's not good for the vehicles to have a lift kit on them. Like, it's bad for the suspension. It's bad for the frame of the vehicle. You lose, obviously, like I said, the gas mileage. And it's just, and yeah, it's just ridiculous. So you're not impressing me. So
That
big
don't
trucks.
impress me much.
Yeah. So that's my number four, big trucks and big tires. America.
Okay. Well, my number four is related to music. It is a band specifically. It is Coldplay. I dislike Coldplay. Now, that being said, there are a few Coldplay songs that when I hear the opening line to Yellow, it definitely takes me back. And I think it was really well used in the movie Boyhood, where Richard Linklater filmed every year of this child life as they were growing up. And when it kind of flashes back to the start of this time period that he captured, that was the song they used. And it was a little bit like, oh my God, like I was in my 20s. And so like it really created that dissonant different that distance between me and this like next generation that's coming up. But Yellow is a decent song, Fix You is a decent song, but the reason why I don't like Coldplay is because it just felt like they were everywhere. I remember the song Clocks seemed to appear like in almost every TV show and movie. I think it was even on ER one time. And then I remember just everywhere I would go, like in a restaurant or wherever, Clocks was playing, and that opening line, that piano line, I can listen to it now because it's not so overplayed, but back then that would just hit me wrong. And then I was working in a sales office in a previous job that had like a open floor plan, a bullpen floor plan, and there would be music. There'd be, even though we were sales and we were on the phone, they'd have music playing, and the song Paradise, I don't know what it was, but there was something. I don't think I heard all the tones. So I'm hearing impaired, and I don't hear the higher ranges of sound. And I don't think I heard the whole thing, but what I heard, it just seemed to like sear right into my brain, and it would just agitate the ever-living hell out of me. And so there's something about Coldplay and the music and some of those tones. It just does not sit with me. And also, look, Chris Martin's kind of a weirdo. He married fucking Gwyneth Paltrow, and she's a real fucking weirdo. So, Coldplay, a lot of people like Coldplay, and it's okay if you guys like Coldplay, but for me, it's just, if you wanted to torture me, you hook up to a headphone and just blast Paradise into my brain, and I think I will kill myself.
Okay. Well, we don't want that.
Jay's just like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Coldplay concert, love them. But I mean, like we've said already multiple times, to each their own. But it's been a band that's kind of been ever omnipresent throughout Katie and I's relationship, including when we started dating. And so, like, it's always been a band that we've liked their music, and now Vivian likes their music. It's never, I wouldn't ever say it was ever our favorite band, but it was always like top five for us. I wouldn't say it
Okay.
is now, but like, I just, yeah, it's been one of those bands that some albums just completely miss for us, but some albums it's like, oh yeah, I need this on vinyl. We're gonna listen to this a lot.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can totally understand. Not everybody gets it. That's they're definitely a polarizing band.
Well, I also get the overplayed because they definitely can rank
Yes.
in that ballpark of overplayed for sure.
Yes. Yes. Which is funny because like they do not consider themselves like popular or cool. I mean, and really, I don't think Coldplay, in my mind, yeah, there was those couple early albums that were huge, but like to me, they didn't really hit their stride until after they split up. I felt like he actually started writing some pretty substantial, like deep songs, after their marriage was over. Which, I mean, that's good material, I guess, for an album,
Sure.
but
There you for many a country song. Yes,
go.
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. So, Caleb, what's yours? You're number four.
My number four is soda water.
Mmm.
Sparkling water, any of that, like
Never knew this about you,
LaCroix.
Caleb.
I know I've tried. I know you're Jay, I know you're a big fan of it. I've tried it. I just can't do it. Like, there's just something about it. And like, just like a straight club soda, that's even worse. Like, if there's a little bit of flavor, it helps a little bit, but it's
Sure.
just that like carbonation and water combination without strong flavor that just, I don't know. It just something, it does not sit right in my palate. I've tried them. I've tried a bunch of different ones. And yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it. It just does not sit right with me. And plus, I burp like crazy, but that means I burp like an insane amount.
Yep, it will do that.
So you're okay with like a Coca-Cola because it has the flavoring. Or like,
Sure.
right, but so it's not carbonated beverages. Obviously, we did a bit on
Correct.
beer, so you're okay with that. But it's just the plain old soda water. I find for myself, particularly like even when people had those soda streams for the longest time, that to me just always felt like harsher than just like a, typical club soda out of a bottle. But
Sure.
yeah,
We have a soda
interesting.
stream. We use a soda stream every day.
Yeah. I can go either way. Like if I'm with someone and they prefer still water, when you go to a restaurant and they're like, so, sparkling or still. I could go like if I'm with Jay and Jay, you wanted sparkling water, I would get the sparkling water and be just fine. If
Yeah.
Caleb, you and I were grabbing a meal and you said still water, I would be just
Yep.
fine.
On a hot summer day, there's not much more this there's not many things that are more refreshing to me than a soda water with a lime. Like, yeah. But I get it. I wasn't always here, and I'm not saying the way I am is right or wrong or anything. It's just we're different. So.
Yeah, I like I said, I've tried because I know, like Tori likes them. I know you guys like them. I've tried them. I don't know. There's just something about it doesn't sit right. So.
Caleb, did you ever see Ted Lasso and the running gag they
Yes,
have
I was
about
just gonna say I am Ted Lasso. If you handed me that and I
set
didn't
it
know
in your
it, I
face?
would do the same thing.
Yeah, so I think I love when he was like, yeah, I used to think still water meant that it was just still just water.
I am Ted Lasso in this instant for sure.
That's funny. Okay, so that was your number four. Jumping to our number threes now. This is the one that I talked about earlier, when we were talking about country music, in the B93 birthday bash, and that's music festivals.
I had a feeling that's where you were going to go when you foreshadowed that.
So when I was
That's surprising to
20,
me.
yeah, when I was 20, 21 years old, I would go to the B93 birthday bash in Allegan, Michigan, or Door, Michigan. It's been in a few different locations. And I would go multiple days and camp out. And yeah, I like to camp and I love music concerts, but I don't want to mix them. I need Like if I'm going to a concert, like it's an event, especially like some of the concerts we go to, like Taylor Swift, and we're going to Lady Gaga later this summer. And when you go to those, it's like it's the whole day's event. Like when you're going with females, like my wife and daughter, like they spend half the day getting ready and getting in their, outfits and doing their makeup and doing their hair, and so like. And so that's what concerts have turned into for me, like is they're an event, they're an experience. And so like when you take that and turn that into a 3-day weekend festival where you're camping and you're not showering and you're hot and you're pressed body to body with other people who haven't showered and aren't, maybe the best hygienically. Yeah, it's just it doesn't sit right with me. Yeah, I mean back when I was younger and didn't care about those creature comforts that we grow accustomed to. If it was the only way I could experience concerts, then maybe I would have to grin and bear it. But luckily, my favorite bands tour in regular ways as well. And so I'll just go see them at the I'll go see them at Little Caesars Arena or at the little, halls or symphony halls that come around, and I don't need to go to a field in the middle of nowhere in rural Michigan to see them. So, yeah. Music festivals.
It's funny. So I really only went to one real music festival. It was north of Chicago in East Troy, Wisconsin. It was the Tibetan Freedom Concert in 1999. And I had to look up who was in that roster because I remember The Cult. I remember Blondie. I remember Eddie Vedder. And I remember seeing Live. But apparently, I also saw Run DMC, The Beastie Boys, Tracy Chapman, The Roots, Otis Rush, Cibo Matto, Handsome Boy Modeling School, and Rage Against the Machine. And I don't remember all that.
So that was one of my things that I was thinking about is like you can really knock off some bucket list people at some of these festivals because yeah, there's a lot of big names coming in.
The
But the
only problem,
downside
though,
is their
is
sets are often like only an hour long. So like you're only
not
getting like
even, like
their
in this
top.
case, I remember, yeah, it was like a half hour. And even then, I think because there were multiple stages and my brother and my sister and my brother-in-law really we were there to see like Live and Eddie Vedder and The Cult and Blondie, and so it was at this one particular stage, so I think we kind of like hovered around there so that we had like a good spot, And so that's why I don't remember. I think I would have, I feel like I would have remembered if I saw Tracy Chapman. And the Beastie Boys, right? So I don't know if they were maybe not at that particular one. But what I took away from that day was it was a hot summer day. It had like we had the most torrential rainpour, mud everywhere. There was people like tripping out on a hill, passed out next to me. And you know, I'm 19 years old, so I was kind of like, you know, I just felt like I just didn't feel secure, and I just felt kind of strange. And it's not a great way to really like see a good group of artists like that.
It's not
So
as
music
controlled.
festivals, yeah. So music festivals have never really been my thing either, Jay. You know.
The sound is never optimized. There's just so many
Right.
things that are just not optimal about music festivals. So
Okay.
that's my number three.
All
Rob.
right. So my number three, on the realm of bad weather and chaos and people tripping out and sliding on hills, it's dystopian fiction. It's
Why
not my
not?
favorite genre. Now, I don't hate it perhaps as much as I hate Coldplay's Paradise or Trader Joe's. But it's not my thing. I have a hard time watching or reading dystopian fiction and enjoying it. I think it's a little too stressful. Like I would get stressed watching The Walking Dead. My brother and I talked about this, and I think after the like midway through the first season, I stopped watching because Sunday night my blood pressure would spike, and then I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. Yeah, I love a good zombie film. Like Night of the Living Dead isn't really quite like a dystopian fiction because it's just, you know, it's like an invasion in a farmhouse, right? Like it's very contained. You don't get the sense of like all these people have got to build a new world order. And for the longest time, I think the reason why I think the zombie genre was particularly popular after 9/11 was because Americans could enjoy watching the hero of the story shoot someone, and then there was none of that messy. It was a Chinese,
Was
it was
it
a
right or
Russian,
wrong?
it was an Arab, right? Yeah, none of that messy morals, right? And so
Clearly,
I
these
also think
zombies
it.
needed to die.
Right. Yeah. So there was, yeah, no ambiguity whatsoever. So dystopian fiction to me always just feels a little bit odd because it's usually trying to comment on what ha is happening in the moment that the story is being told. But I also think it creates this kind of odd effect, particularly in America, where everyone thinks that they can, you know, rugged survive on their own. And the one thing I've kind of learned about the pandemic is how much people actually will be. Yeah, we had some arguments about vaccines and masks and stuff, but for the most part, everything was peaceful, right? And I think people are a little more collaborative in times of calamity because it's the instinct to collaborate with each other. So I don't know, dystopian fiction just doesn't work for me. So.
So what's your cutoff? So like, is it zombie, like post, like apocalyptic, like where there's been some sort of, you know, nuclear bomb or some sort of government overthrow or
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on like the scale of the world building that is within the story, right? So when they create these big kind of elaborate things that start to involve currencies and money and all of this other stuff, I don't know. It's just I don't enjoy it. Like I said, I can enjoy Night of the Living Dead because on the face of it, it's just an invasion film. But A Walking Dead got much bigger, and you know, Hunger Games again is not quite my thing.
What about something like Blade Runner or something that's kind of more futuristic?
Blade Runner to me was interesting because yes, you have the crane shot kind of overlooking the city, but by and large, it really was a movie about philosophy and identity. So it was still a very personal film. So I think it has to do with scale of the dystopian fiction. The thing about Blade Runner that I always find interesting is how, you know, a lot of futures in say the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s maybe even somewhat of the 90s, you know, showing these really highly populated cities. And I'm kind of starting to be convinced that, like, I'm like, where's the dystopian fiction where there's actually not very many people? Because it's been replaced by drones and robots and AI, and maybe there's only like 600 people that inhabit planet Earth. What does that future look like? So, you know,
Interesting.
Star Trek, for example, has, you know, this wide w range of worlds and people and everything else, right? There's probably 600 people on the Enterprise alone. And then Superman would oftentimes get flung in 1,000 years into the future and team up with the Legion of Superheroes. And again, it would be like Kansas City, Smallville, Kansas was like, you know, at that point, like the size of Metropolis 1,000 years later. And I'm like, that might not be the case. Like, what happens if there's really only a small handful of people to the point where if you got flung 1,000 years into the future, Earth would be unrecognizable, almost like Planet of the Apes, right? And the other thing I always kind of find interesting is like Bill Gates, somebody asked him about like a time traveler or whatever. Somebody came from the future, and Bill Gates would say he would take it as a sign of a positive development because it means humanity survived. So,
Interesting. So, like for you, it's more of like what the message of the piece of media is, and less in. If it's just the fact that it's kind of dystopia, it's kind of like it trying to paint parallels to, you know, modern society, for just the sake of doing that, it's not as interesting to you unless it's been a, you know, and then and if it's a well-painted picture and well, like a cool feeling, or like a movie about, you know, connection of people and collaborating, then that's more up your aisle, or your alley, I should say. Okay. All right. I agree.
Nice.
Okay. So that was your
Number three.
number two, three?
Number
My number
three.
three. Okay.
I didn't go.
So, oh, yeah, you're up.
Yeah, Caleb didn't
Come
go.
on, man.
I'm jumping all over the place.
So I kind of briefly mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we were doing adult beverages. And my number three is tequila. It seems to be a real popular thing right now. Like every celebrity seems to have their own tequila, and everyone's getting on these tequila bandwagons. And I just don't like the flavor of tequila. I've tried it. I tried different kinds. I mean, there's been a couple where I'm like, oh, it's okay. But like, I don't enjoy, especially like a cheap tequila. Oh, that is horrible. That's no good at all. I've tried them. I've tried to enjoy them. I know it's kind of the thing right now is tequila and soda or whatever, but I just can't. It's
I
just
think
not
part of it is
my
because
drink.
there's a misnomer that keto is, or sorry, that tequila is keto friendly and what have you. So like a lot of the CrossFitters, when they come into the bar, you know, it's like they want the tequila and soda with a little bit of agave because I think that's better than regular sugar or simple syrup, and none of it is healthy. But there's this sort of perception right now that it's tequila somehow a better liquor.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that, and I read somewhere that it like supposedly gives you less of a hangover afterwards. But I'm like, I can't imagine that would make any difference. It seems kind of bizarre to me, but yeah.
There are some tequilas I like, but nothing that it's like never something I crave, never something I really go after. So
A
I
friend of
agree.
mine was listening to the alcohol episode, and he was like, "You guys are tequila. What did he call us? Tequila bigot."
No, yeah. Well, I just did it again.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I'll be a tequila bigot. Okay. So that was our number threes. Let's move on to our number twos. Rob.
Oh, you really are jumping all over the place. Okay.
Well,
I
I
thought you were
think we
gonna.
messed up our number threes because it was your topic, you're supposed to start off
Yeah.
each round. So I think that's what happened.
Okay. All right. So my
So we're back on.
my number two is closely related to dystopian fiction, and it is reality TV.
Oh,
I in
I
general
agree
don't
with that.
really enjoy reality TV. I've
No.
tried it. I actually one time in business school I was walking by, and this was maybe two, no, this was about 3, 4 years after Survivor had debuted. And they were like, "Hey, we got some pizza, and we're interviewing business school students for this reality show by Burnett Productions." I'm like, all right, fine, yeah, I'll go get some pizza. I apparently tried out for the first season of The Apprentice. Now, I actually watched the first season of The Apprentice, and I was like, "Oh, I kind of sort of wish I had been on the show. I thought it was a decent show." The second season, when it just became a bunch of shouting in the boardroom, I was like, "I'm out." Same thing just happened to me this weekend. I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 10. Now, I am actually one of those people who doesn't ordinarily watch RuPaul's Drag Race because I don't like watching all the main character energy that these reality people have and this
Yes,
like
that's what
level
I
of
hate.
overconfidence, like, I'm gonna slay them all, right? Like, whatever. And so like I just the egotism and the nastiness is it's just unappealing to me. And there was a moment in this week's RuPaul's Drag Race where something really shady and underhanded happened, and I stopped it and I removed it from my watch list, and I said, I am not going to continue with the rest of the
About
season. Yeah, so now the only reason why I got into it was only maybe 3, 4 years ago, and they actually had an all-stars all winners challenge where they brought back everyone who won. And nobody was ever eliminated, and the critiques were not very harsh. And so you got a chance to know these performers and you got a chance to see their talents. And I much preferred that format, but I just don't really like Survivor, Big Brother. Never watched a Real Housewife. I got into The Traitors the first season, and I really got into it the second season, which ironically was an all reality show cast, but all of them were new to me. I didn't know a single person from any of the reality shows. And I kind of enjoyed the game format. But then again, as Traitors season three came out, it really, there's nothing new to the game structure itself. And so it's just watching these personalities clash. And for some reason, it's not appealing to me.
Well, I mean, it's the whole concept of some people like watching a train wreck, and they like watching shitty people being shitty to shitty other shitty people. And it's just, yeah, that, I mean, there's a whole category of Instagram reels and TikToks that you can go down a rabbit hole with all this sort of thing. I don't think it's too much dissimilar from like watching people hurt themselves on Instagram and, TikTok, like people, falling off of roofs while they're doing something stupid, like s with a skateboard or whatever. Like, some people love that stuff, and I do not like seeing people hurt themselves, whether it's physically or emotionally or just doing stupid stuff on a TV show. Like, none of that sounds good to me. I like something that is going in a good direction, not in a bad direction.
Well,
What do you
yeah, and
think?
I agree with you. Watching even back all the way back to the days of like America's Funniest Home Videos, never really enjoyed those. I also don't think it's a coincidence that 25 years after The Real World on MTV went mainstream, brought reality, right, reality television to the mainstream. 25 years later, we get our first reality TV show president. I also remember when Joe Rogan was hosting a show called Fear Factor and making everyone eat bugs. So for me, there's an element of it's just television that's crass, like you said, it's watching people hurt themselves. And what I
Our
worry about
spectacle.
is like, yeah, but I really worry about like, what is it subconsciously teaching people to behave in public with each other? And I don't know that it's a positive effect. So that's just me.
No,
That's my soapbox.
I that probably would have made my list if I had thought of it, 'cause I'm with you. Reality TV shows are not my cup of tea either. Never have been.
Didn't make my list either, but I think it was an oversight. Yeah, I do not like that. Okay. So that's your number two. My number two might get me some hate. And it's got some caveats. It's got some caveats. There are exceptions. But it's the culture of bringing your dog with you everywhere. Everywhere. I love dogs. I own a dog. I love her. But not in the hardware store, not in the cafe, not on vacation with me, not in my Airbnb. Everyone, if you own a dog, like for me, when I get a dog, I am always looking for who's going to house sit for my dog. Who's going to, where can my dog go if I need it to go somewhere else? Like that is like that's in my mind, that's a normal dog ownership thing that I do. And I'm not saying everyone needs to be like me, again, to each their own, but it just something about it. There should be a limit to where they go. Service dogs are absolutely essential. So I'm not talking about them. Fully support service dogs. But bringing your pet to restaurants, grocery stores, shopping malls, on airplanes, theme parks, on vacation with you, like I said, just isn't fair to the dog. Like the dog doesn't want to be with you at Disney World. The dog does not want to be there, I promise you. And obviously you want it to be there with you. Not going to tell you're wrong. But not every place is meant for pets, and it can make people uncomfortable or even anxious that aren't necessarily good around dogs. Plus, many of these places aren't enjoyable or even safe for dogs.
Yeah,
So,
people do not take your dog to the fireworks for 4th of July.
yeah, exactly. There are just places that aren't safe or even practical for pets. So, yeah, that's my number two. Dogs
But what would
that.
I, what
Go
would we
ahead.
do without the cute video of the dogs meeting Pluto at Disney
Yeah.
World? I mean,
Yeah.
come on, we need those cute videos.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what we'd do, but
You
I,
can bring Pluto to the dog.
yeah, bring Pluto to the dog.
Yeah.
The
Or just give it
dog
a
does
stuffed
not know that's
Pluto and it's all good.
Pluto's a
Yeah.
dog.
Yeah. I
So
mean,
anyway.
Disney, there you go. Disney really wanted to do something. They've got the money. They can just have Pluto visit every dog park in America.
So anyway, that's my number two. Like I said, it might bring a little heat from, the wrong people, but service dogs totally fine. And I've brought my dog to Home Depot before. She is not good at Home Depot, but like there are dogs that are good, and so like I don't think this is one rule for everybody. Every dog is different, every person is different, but like there are certain places that dogs just don't belong. So that's my number
Yeah,
two.
I agree with you on that. It's always a rough thing when people bring them into the bar because there's like one dog in particular who's very well behaved and
Yes.
small and beloved.
Well, and
But
that's a private
some,
bar.
yeah.
That's not the same. So I'm not gonna
But
go
some
out
people have brought
there.
their dogs and their dog is not the right
Right.
dog for that
Yeah,
environment.
like my dog does not
I
belong
had
at
a
the Crazy Diamond.
no, and also I'm not a fan of dogs in the workplace. I one time was at a Christmas party in New York, and somebody's dog bit one a coworker. Because again, the dog shouldn't have been at a company Christmas party.
Sure.
So,
Yeah.
yeah,
So
I
that's my
agree with
number
you there.
two.
All right, Jay, you said your number two is going to cause a lot of controversy. I think my number
Uh-oh.
two is my most controversial one too, because I changed my number one. My number one was the most con but I changed it to make it, I didn't want to ruin everyone's day. But my number two is the show Friends. I cannot
Oh.
stand the show Friends. I know it's like supposedly one of the best sitcoms of all time, yada yada. I don't get it. I don't think it's funny. I don't think any of the characters are compelling. I don't think the story's compelling. I don't know. I just can't get on board. I've tried. I've watched several episodes. I've watched several seasons. I just can't. I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, it just it can. I don't know. There's just something about Friends that I've never been able to enjoy. Never liked. And just yeah,
Did you
I'll be
watch
happy
it?
if it doesn't come on anymore.
Did you watch it in the moment, or did
Live.
you try to watch it kind of after it?
But both
Okay.
and yes.
Because I think there's an element of to it, like you mentioned best. I think it's beloved. It's from a quality standpoint, I don't think it's best. I'm not entirely sure that it's still, I mean, there's some things about it that holds it up, and then there are other things in it that really does not hold up at all. Yeah, it definitely was a cultural touchstone. I'm not gonna lie, I think like Matthew Perry dying, like him being the first friend to die, kind of
Sure.
like that's a weird kind of thing for a certain generation, like Gen X, kind of early millennial. But I can understand why my friends, I did enjoy it at the time, and you know, I will watch it, and I do know certain lines of it, but it's also one of those shows where the writing, as it went on, they were chasing after plots that didn't really make sense. And then, as happens with a lot of American sitcoms of that era, like with Frasier and Will and Grace, the characters become less characters and more caricatures. So that makes it hard to swallow.
Yeah, and I think for me too, part of it might have been, so when it was on, I was younger, so I didn't, some of the jokes references probably went over my head, which is why I tried it to watch it when I was older, thinking, oh, we'll get more of these jokes and things, and we'll maybe it will be more enjoyable. But I was like, nope, still just not for me.
Yeah.
I get it, Caleb. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle on it. I did I you know I'm a little bit older than you, so I did see a lot of it live when it was happening. But a lot of it too just didn't hit me at the right time. I was watching other things. I do know all, I mean, I think you probably know all the characters as well, but you
Oh
know
yeah.
the characters, and you know the big episodes, you know the big story arcs, you know who dated who and all that kind of stuff. And so I appreciate that stuff, but it was never like my show ever. But I would watch it.
And I always thought the three women were much stronger
Oh,
performers, especially
definitely.
together, than the
Definitely.
three guys.
Yes.
And so there's an element of me that would love to see those three do a new project with different writers now at a different stage of their life. I would love to see
Yeah,
those three
that'd be
interacting with each
interesting.
other,
Yeah.
but you know, whether it be like a modern day Golden Girls or what, they are now the age of the Golden Girls. But
Think you're onto something here, Rob.
They're actually
yeah.
they're a lot older than the Golden Girls are.
Well, no, I
Because
mean,
the
like
Golden Girls were
B.
like
Arthur.
in their early 40s, weren't they?
No, Blanche lied and said that. No, they were for the most part in their 50s. I think B. Arthur was like 62 when the show started,
Oh, okay.
and they were written more to be in their 60s, but the network thought that that was too old. But the women in their 50s was okay, but based on certain references and things, it really fit more of a profile of a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
But you know, the Friends women, I mean, I think Lisa Kudrow is probably 60 years old now, right?
Oh,
Because she
yeah.
was the oldest one of the group. And so, yeah, I would love to see those three women do something together. I love Courteney Cox when she's in the Scream franchise. Lisa Kudrow is, I think, one of the funniest actresses in whether it's The Comeback or Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. And, you know, I've actually enjoyed Jennifer Aniston in a lot of the different things that she
Yeah.
does. So, but I
Yep.
can't say the same for David Schwimmer. And then Matt LeBlanc was
He's just
only
a
really
dummy.
ever Joey. He
Yeah,
was
he's
just
just a
really,
dummy.
I don't know if he's a dumb
Yeah.
person or not, but he was really only ever
That's the character
Joey.
he played. Yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing kind of happened to Matthew Perry. He never got out of Chandler.
Yeah.
And David Schwimmer did do some things, but he's always going to be Ross. Whereas
Yeah.
the women were actually, you know, all of them have played other characters, and I always thought they were the more interesting part of the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. Yeah, so that's those are our number twos.
Yeah, so you did number two was your dog, and number two was Friends, and mine was reality TV. So I guess we're back to number one.
Number
All right,
ones.
well, nothing much here to say. And I don't, yeah, no, I do hate it, actually. I think Starbucks is garbage. I think it's just, I like a simple black cup of coffee. I don't need cream, I don't need sugar. I like a lot of coffee from a lot of different places. Jay last week talked about guilty pleasure and how much he enjoys a really good cup of coffee. For some reason, for me, Starbucks has never fit that flavor profile. I've tried all of the different roast. I've even tried some of the sweet drinks and, the creamy drinks and everything else. But by and large, I will bypass a Starbucks and look for a Tim Hortons or a Dunkin' Donuts or a McDonald's or even a gas station where it's cheaper and it's just not as overly roasted. Jay is like freaking out about the
I'm
gas station
wincing.
coffee, but I just there's something about Starbucks and the long lines that would happen in a drive-through. I don't
Oh,
understand
I will
why.
not sit in the line.
Yeah, I
So,
don't
like, when you're
understand
at the
why
airport
everybody's.
and there's a Starbucks, it's, there are drinks that I like. I mean, I have a drink for every mood at Starbucks, for every situation I'm in. But if there's a line, I'll skip it. I don't love it that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had a blonde roast?
I have. Yep. I've had a blonde roast. I've had all of them. If I'm at the Detroit Metro Airport in the McNamara Terminal in Detroit, I will stop at a Plum Market because I can get a coffee from Zingerman's. And I usually find that good. But to be honest with you, McDonald's makes a good cup of coffee, and so
They
does
do.
Dunkin' Donuts. So.
They do. So is it that, because I agree with you to some extent that, like, if it's co just coffee you're getting, that Starbucks, like, just their regular roast is nothing to write home about. Is it for you that it's too strong, or what is the flavor that you don't
It's
enjoy?
like a burnt, to me, it's like an overly
Sure.
roasted burnt
Got it.
flavor. And I think that's kind of what I'm reacting to. So.
So for me, I'll get my perfect black cup of coffee at Starbucks is a tall Verona blend with a couple pumps of vanilla syrup in it, and it's just
That's not
chef's
a black
kiss.
cup of coffee.
Well,
Everything's good with vanilla syrup in it.
that's
Yeah.
true. So I agree with you. Like, if I'm gonna drink a black cup of coffee, Starbucks would not be my first choice. I like Starbucks. I enjoy it. I go quite a bit. But yeah, like, if you're looking for just a black cup of coffee, I think you could definitely find better, for sure. I don't know if a gas I wouldn't say a gas station is better, but
It always depends on the gas station.
I would for me, I would draw the line at McDonald's, but everyone's different, and everyone has their own
Like
palate.
McDonald's is on
And
the acceptable side of the line or the unacceptable.
McDonald's is good.
I
And
agree.
I
I
would
think
put,
actually McDonald's black coffee is pretty good. yeah.
And I would put Tim Hortons slightly better than McDonald's, but
Yeah.
that's as low as I go.
Where's Dunkies for you?
I would put Dunkin' Donuts slightly below McDonald's to where I wouldn't go, but I mean, if I don't have any other option, I would definitely drink it. It's just I wouldn't stop there
Yeah.
if I
I don't think
needed a
I've
cup of
ever
coffee.
had a Dunkin' Donuts just black coffee before. Oh,
That's all I
yeah.
can
Yeah.
remember.
Well, here's the funny thing. So when I was in Boston, which is home of Dunkin' Donuts, I would say I want a regular coffee. Now, being in the Midwest, if I say I wanted regular coffee, it means I wanted coffee with the caffeine in it, not decaf. I'd say black regular coffy. But the fact that I say black means to me no cream, no sugar. I kind of like the bitter flavor. In Boston, a regular is like two creams, two sugars. Like that's a standard regular cup of coffee is cream and
Interesting.
sugar. And I'm like, and so people would get very confused and it was very hard and it was very much a regional thing. And I'm like, no, to me, like, I would always say, oh, I'd like a cup of black coffee, regular or decaf, right? Like that's how we do it in the Midwest. And I'd say regular. And so, but if you started with that, God, you confused the hell out of whoever was serving you.
Okay. So is your number one?
Yep.
My number one, and it could be polarizing as well, but my number one is large group vacations. The idea
Oh.
of 12 people in one rental house sounds fun until you realize that those 12 people don't want to all do the same thing all weekend. So my caveat is, like, if it's open-ended to where people can come and go as they want to on that vacation. There's no, party planner, there's no schedule keeper, or if there are, it's like maxed out at one or two things per day. We're getting together for dinner at this such and such time and such place. But like, hey, go do your thing today, go live your life, and then come back for dinner or whatever. I'm fine with that kind of vacation. But the kind of vacation where you've got 20 people at Disney World and we're going to force you all to go through Epcot, we're all going to ride the same rides, or if, some people want to sit it out or whatever, like that's not, does not sound fun to me. I've been on vacations like that before. And, the limit is, I think the limit is at about 8 people. I think you could do an 8-person vacation where you're all doing the same thing. But once you get beyond that, it's, you're just trying to keep too many people happy at the same time. It's just,
Jay, I
it's.
thought our group of six to New York was a large group.
No, I mean, that's, you're pushing the limit. And I mean, we found that on the trip where people did their own things and people had to make phone calls and people had to work at times. And I mean, but I think that would
It was a
fall
great
within my
trip.
parameters because we were allowed to do that. No one was saying, hey, we need to be here, other than like shows we would go to or whatever. Like, I feel like that fell within what I would consider acceptable because people could do what they needed to do when they needed to do it. And we
Are these
wanted to get
12, 20
together.
people? Are these 12, 20 people like all family?
It can be. Oh, it can
I
be.
mean, but have you done like a group of 12 people that was like all friends?
It's not
Huh.
very fun.
I don't have
It's
that
not
many
fun.
friends. I was going to say, first of all, I'm a little offended because we've gone on group trips together. So, although it
And I
hasn't been
mean,
12, it hasn't been that many. So, yeah, it's
but
okay.
like, I mean, a couple of those trips were, they weren't fun for everybody, were they?
And
They
my other
were fun
comment
for you
was,
and I, Caleb. You and I
and
can
my
have
other
fun
comment,
with
yeah,
anybody,
my
but
other
like,
comment
it
was
wasn't fun for
send this to
everybody.
my mom. My other
Exactly.
comment, send this to my mom. My mom
Oh,
loves
shit.
to do that with my
My mom
family,
does
and it
too.
drives me crazy.
My mom likes the idea of renting an Airbnb down in the state of Virginia where it's far from everybody's house and we're all under the same roof and we're all doing the same stuff and we're all eating dinner together. And
It's stressful. It's not fun. It's not a vacation.
I love you, Mom.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm with you. That when it's when there's that many people, it's just a headache. No one enjoys it. You can't really do anything. I mean, it's just
But you can
chaos.
do it like for, I think it was for my 40th birthday, we rented a house with my family and we said, this is where we're staying. We're having dinner this night. We're going to do a murder mystery this night. And everything else is open. Do what you want to do.
Sure.
This is my birthday. This is the way I want to do it. Like you can make it work, but you have to spell that stuff out.
Sure.
Establish those ground rules so that people aren't overstepping it and expecting too much
Yeah.
because it's just going to be failure.
Yeah, I'll say like our trip to New York in October, I think Jay deepened our friendship between you and I. But that was because like I realized you're like you and I think are very similar in terms of like how we organize things, where it's like we created a schedule of like these are the times when we need to be together so that everyone else can know the times when they don't have to be together. And if I anything, like I kind of regretted, not regretted, like as we were like getting ready for the trip, I was like, oh, I wish I hadn't bought like a ticket for a third thing. But that third thing was Sleep No More, and it kind of came up because at the last minute, and I really wanted you all to experience that. So, I am the same way with
And I'm
you. I
glad we
kind of
did.
like, yeah. And I'm kind of glad that like, I would do a trip like that again, where it's like, okay, we have this one thing on this day, maybe another thing on another day, but in between, if there's a rest day, and then, like moments where like, certain people might stay behind and do one thing, and then somebody else may say, I'm going to go to this museum. And I said, I'm going to go. And then next thing you know, Katie and Jay go. We went for a lovely walk and enjoyed a great museum and had a great time, So.
So anyway, That's my number one. Large group
All
vacations. I love you all,
right.
but more separately.
I was gonna say, but separately.
You gotta keep them separated.
All right. So my number one, I don't is social media. I just hate social
No.
media. I don't know how many people actually really enjoy it. I know everyone
No one
uses it for
loves
the
it
most part,
out of
but
necessity.
I mean, the only one I use, quote unquote, is Instagram. Outside of that, I don't have Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I don't use or X or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't see a benefit. I think it's destructive to society. I think it's destructive to individuals, to families. There is nothing that I can think of that's good or positive. Again, I don't know. I mean, I think most people probably feel that way, yet we just won't stop
We
using it.
feed the
It
beast. Yeah.
makes
Well,
no
and I feel
sense to
like
me at all.
we all have this innate need for connection, for social connection, and we fill it with social media thinking that that's doing it, and it just leaves us empty. And
Right.
so not only are you doing that and spending all your time on social media, but you're also not getting the actual one-on-one
Socialization you
where
need.
I mean, like this sort of thing. Like this is
Yeah.
more, yeah, this is over the internet, over, it's not in person, but like this is the sort of thing that you're losing out on when you're talking to 100 of your friends at the same time as opposed to two of your friends at the same
Sure.
time.
Yeah.
I think,
Yeah.
Caleb, this is really kind of like reality TV. I didn't
Yeah.
include this on my list. Partly because I kind of forgot about it because after Cambridge Analytica in the 2020 election, in
Yeah.
January of 2021, I deleted my Facebook and Instagram and my LinkedIn. And then in this the day after the election of the my holdout was Twitter. I was kind of hoping Elon Musk would get bored with it and leave it. But the day after the election, and I realized he was going to be heavily involved with a government administration, I deleted my Twitter account. But I had my Twitter before I had Facebook and
Yeah.
Instagram. And I haven't taken to it. I'm like, Jay, I've met you, and Caleb, I'm now talking with you well after years after I've had social media. And so I agree with you. It's one of these things where people participate in it. And I get frustrated when some of my friends who have small businesses say, well, I can't delete it because I need it for small business. And
Sure.
yet they'll announce certain things and then they'll be like, well, Rob, why didn't you know? I'm like, well, I'm not on Facebook. So why didn't you send an email blast? Like, if I want to subscribe to your
Yeah.
email newsletter, I'll choose to do that over Facebook.
Yeah.
But then they don't do that. And
Yeah.
so, like, if you only are serving the Facebook audience, then of course you're like, well, I have to advertise on Facebook. And
Right.
there are many ways of
Right.
advertising. So
Yep.
I just, I,
Believe it or not,
social
small
media.
businesses existed before social media, and
Yeah,
they'll exist
exactly.
hopefully once it's gone. I would love for it to be gone. So, yeah, that was my least controversial number one pick. So I thought it would work.
No, that's a good one. Okay. Well, that's it, guys.
I'll be curious to see if people like comment on any of our choices. So to
What people's
recap, I have
feedback?
Trader Joe's, Coldplay, dystopian fiction, reality TV, and Starbucks.
Yep.
Jay, you had, well, Caleb, you had
Pickleball.
country music.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Caleb, you
What were
had country
yours?
music. Oh, shoot. Hold on. I remember
Soda
this. No, I don't remember this. All right. Restate
water.
it. Soda water.
Soda.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Friends and social media.
Okay.
Yep. And I had pickleball, big trucks with big tires, music festivals, bringing your dog everywhere, and large group vacations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any honorable mentions?
I wish I had thought of social media.
Yeah, that's a good
Yeah.
one. My honorable mentions were classic rock radio. I love classic rock. I love a lot of it. But it's when you listen to classic, I mean, so we've talked about this a little bit last week, Rob. I grew up on, in my early days in construction, the construction field. if you were working on a job site, it was either classic rock or country music.
Right.
And so the same freaking 30 songs play on classic rock radio with the same freaking DJ that's been there for 30 years.
Roxanne.
Yeah, and I love those songs. I do, but just like listening to them on
You
a
got burnt.
station, it's just old, and it's just there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's the same stuff. So that's one. Another one is the Jeep Club. People who drive Jeeps and give each other peace signs and have ducks on their dashboards, and like it's a club.
Specifically Wranglers. Yeah.
Jeep Wranglers.
Yeah.
So I don't really hate it because I've just never owned a Jeep, so I don't get it, I guess. But and then the other one is golf, the sport of golf. I've played a lot of golf in my life. I've played in golf leagues in my life, but somehow you can go from, it's somehow mind-numbingly slow and rage-inducing to where you want to kill something at the same time. I just don't like. I understand it's, a lot of people do it for business. They play with other professionals, and it's kind of like a professional sport. I've gone on golf outings with my brother-in-laws and with their friends, and I love the guys. I love spending the time with the guys, but I hate the actual golf. And I'm a good golfer, and I just don't have any interest in like spending more time on it to get better. Like there's just no point. And it's an expensive sport.
And that's the thing too. Like, I would gladly go out and hang out and go do something outside. That sounds great, but like, why does it always have to be golf? Like, I don't know. Like,
So, yeah. Anybody, you guys, Caleb, do you have any honorable mentions?
the only other honorable mention I had is tea.
Again, like Ted Lasso.
Loose leaf tea? You don't like loose leaf tea?
It doesn't matter the tea. I've tried to get into tea. My wife loves tea. I know, Jay, you've mentioned that you've tried to get me to drink different tea.
Love tea.
It tastes like warm water with a hint of grass. I just don't like it.
There is a tea for everything, though, Caleb.
I know that, and people, I've tried a wide variety of tea. I just don't, it needs more flavor. It needs more kicky in the nuts for me.
Well, you can
just
always
can't
pour a
do it.
shot of Bailey's in it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you can put
right.
whatever you want in it. That's funny.
I
All right,
want to
well,
like tea too. I do. I want to like it, but I just can't. I can't do it.
I get it. I get it. But anyway, so that's our anti-pleasures. If you agree with us, let us know. If you disagree with us, let us know. Or maybe just keep it to yourself. So this was Rob's topic. Last week was my topic. So Caleb, it's back to you. What are we talking about next week?
So I don't want to maintain the hatred
The
level. Yeah, the haterade. There you go. I was trying to think of how to label,
haterade.
but I kind of feel like it would be fun to
But
do your top five overrated actors.
overrated actors.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, like the
Okay.
ones that everyone's like, oh, they're so good, and you're like, I just think they're overrated.
Okay.
Instead of favorite actors,
They
your
re
overrated ones.
rely too much on their looks, or rely on too much of their,
Or they play the same character in every
or they play
movie,
their
or yeah, I mean, there's
typecast
lots
of
of ways
type
to look
people.
at it.
Okay. I
But
think given our discussion earlier tonight, next week, Caleb will be like, number five, Jennifer Aniston.
The
Number one, David Schwimmer. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, the difference with that is that he's not overrated. He's just,
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
he's
Absolutely.
correctly rated. That's funny. No, that'll be a good one. Yeah, do you have any initial reactions to that, Rob? You have
Oh,
any
I can think of a
people that
few. There are a few actors that I won't watch. But I don't know if they're overrated. So the two actors that I refuse to watch in anything are John Travolta, unless it's the movie Pulp Fiction,
Or Greece.
and Nicolas Cage. And so particularly when you put them in the movie Face Off, no, I'm not gonna watch it.
I think
I
those would count
agree
as
with
your
that.
overrated actors.
As
Yeah.
overrated actors. I mean, does anyone, nobody really talks about John Travolta right now. I think I might try to keep it a little more modernist to like, who is overrated right now?
Yeah, John Cena.
Or you could even I even think of it
Yeah,
like maybe actors who have been in a ton of things and you're like, how do they keep getting jobs?
oh yeah
You
yeah
know, I think that falls into the overrated
they either
category or
work really
underrated.
cheap or they're really fun people.
Yeah, I'm thinking Chris Pratt is neither, but he just certainly would be in my top five next week.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that should be fun, guys. So we end it there. I think
I think we
hopefully that's
should.
not too negative, right? Two negatives and a
No.
back to back.
No, that'll be fun. That'll be
You
fun.
know, we'll do like a month of negativity
There you go.
and then, you know, we'll move out of it.
Okay.
June's normally Pride Month, but this month it's negative month, right?
You know, as I always say to people, I'm like, no, you guys go do gay pride. I'll do gay wrath. All
right, guys. Well, it was fun, and we'll catch you next week.
right, sounds good. Have a great week, guys.
For listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.